praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. All right, so that we start getting it as a custom, let's all rise upon our feet as we worship God, as it were, intentionally with our offerings. We just want to have an intentional way, right? You know, because that's how God taught the children of Israel how to be willing givers. So we're just no longer are we going to just be giving our offerings loosely anymore. We would actually ensure that we engage God's word to be willing. Where you are, just lift up your hands to God and say, Father, thank you. All right, okay, I'm going to start this way and then I'll instruct us. Like I said, right, the Lord God taught the children of Israel. He said, before you give your offerings, he says, take a part of all that God has blessed you with and take it to the priest. And before you give your offerings, you should say, right, my father was an Aramean, a Syrian, wandering all around. Then you found him. Then you promised him a land. And we today have entered that land. You kept him through and we've entered that land. Today we've come to acknowledge you with this that we have brought, saying that you're a faithful God and that what you promised, you have done. Thank you. That's how they gave their offerings. So right now, where you are going to say, thank you, Father. Come and just say, thank you, Father. I was in the kingdom of darkness. Come on, I was in the kingdom of darkness. I am now in the kingdom of your dear Son. You have made me a new creation. You have given me your spirit. You have redeemed me from destruction. I bring my offering today as just a token, an acknowledgement of your goodness. Father, I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Right, amen. Church, amen. Praise God. As from today, ensure that you actually understand why you are giving and talk about why you are giving. Let's take our seats. Let's take our seats. Amen. Hallelujah. These are our last Holy Ghost meeting for the year 2024. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. And we are going to be going into God's word, right? Just to get us into what we are about to get into. God's word, right? Because the only way we interact with God or know what is real in the spirit is by the word of God. Praise the Lord. We don't walk by how we feel. Amen. We walk by what the word of God says. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. We do not walk by how we feel. We walk based on what the word of God says. So how do I know the things of the spirit? How do I engage the spirit? I engage the spirit by what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not engage the spirit by how I feel. I do not engage the spirit by any other thing but by what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Why? We are disciples. So Jesus will say, if you continue in my word, because the word is how I engage the spirit. I don't know the spirit but by the word. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So we get the training of how to deal in this kingdom by the word. The man that takes the word of God and acts it out like the word of God says is a man in and practicing the spirit. Praise the Lord. That is why when you see God's word and you practice it, you are in the spirit. Amen. Church, amen. So for example, when the Bible says in Jude 20, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The truth is that sometimes you might feel good and pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you may not feel it, but you pray in the Holy Ghost. But what are you doing? You are building up yourself. Praise the Lord. I might not feel it, but I am building up myself. How do I know? The word, pay attention, the word of God is the one that gives me a purview, an insight into the spirit. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. All right, you know, so let's get into the Bible. So the word of God. So David will say, I praise the Lord. I praise thee, O Lord, for your word. For your word. Let's go into the scriptures to see as we go right into this meeting. Look at the book of Romans chapter 14. We are engaging the spirit via the word. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. We are reading verse 17. Are you a word doer? Amen. Are you a word doer? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Romans 14, 17. It says, for the kingdom of God. Someone say, the kingdom of God. So the word of God is trying to introduce us into the fellowship of our kingdom. That's what he's trying to do. He says, in this kingdom, there are things you would be able to observe. There are things that are a reality. Hallelujah. They are the constant of our kingdom. Romans 14, 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Meaning the kingdom of God is not just about physical things. The kingdom of God is, what is there? I want you to give me verse 17. But righteousness. Someone say righteousness. So the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. The kingdom of God is what? Church, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. So let's go again slowly. For the kingdom of God is not meat and grit. Meat is not meat and drink. For the kingdom of God is righteousness. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. So the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God are righteous people. In the kingdom of God, they experience and embrace the righteousness of God. In the kingdom of God, the right thing that God has done is clear to them. What is the kingdom? It says the kingdom of God is righteousness. Someone say righteousness. Come on, say righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is what the Lord has done. Amen. Church, amen. Righteousness is what the Lord has done. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He became sin. Who knew no sin? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Someone declare, I am righteous. So how many people in the kingdom of God are righteous? How many? Why? Because the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness. So everybody in the kingdom is righteous. Hallelujah. Their righteousness is not by what they do. Their righteousness is a function of what God has done. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. If you don't pay attention to what I'm saying, you will not understand this the next part. He says, the kingdom of God is righteousness. Who makes me righteous? Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God is peace. Are you still in Romans 14, verse 17? The kingdom of God is what? Peace. Someone say peace. Peace. Someone say peace. So in the kingdom of God, do I have peace? Is there peace in the kingdom of God? Is the man in Christ a man of peace? All right. Romans 5. Haven't been justified. Romans 5 verse 1. Haven't been justified by faith. We have peace with God. Peace with God. So everybody in the kingdom is not in a war with God. Everyone in the kingdom is not angry with God. Everyone in the kingdom is not outside, alienated from God. Why? Everyone in the kingdom has the peace of God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? He says that this is the kingdom. Meaning in the kingdom you find righteous people. In the kingdom you have people that are at peace with the king. In the kingdom, what else do you have there? Joy in the church. What do you have there? Joy in the what? Holy Ghost. So where would you find the joy of the Holy Ghost kind? Where will you find it? In the kingdom. In the kingdom where? In the people. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Righteousness, what God has done for me, that I wear a robe of righteousness. Peace, what God has done for me. Amen. Joy, what God has done for me. So where is joy? Joy is in the believer. Joy is what God has done. Rejoicing is what you do based on what God has done. Did you hear what I just said? What did God do? He gave you joy. Amen. Church, amen. That's why the Bible instructs, rejoice in the Lord. Because rejoicing is my response to the joy that is in me. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. So what has God done? He has given me spirit. In that spirit, what is there? Joy. What do I do as a believer? I respond to that joy. The response that I'm responding to joy is not a function of my circumstances. It's a function of the resurrection. So I am looking at it that I am a new creation. I am born again. I have been rescued from sin. I have been rescued from death. I have a high priest. Then I go glory. When I go glory, I am rejoicing. Meaning I am taking a hold of what God has done and I'm acting upon it. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Let's conclude with 1 Peter chapter 1. What do? Believers rejoice. Meaning they take a hold of what God has done. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. One of the things you would find with believers is that they rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 1? Look at verse 6. Let me read it from verse 5. Let us look at verse 4. The reason is that you must see very clearly why Christians rejoice. So remember, it's a thing of faith. It's not a thing of feelings. It's a thing of revelation. Why we go, ha, 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 and nothing is funny, is that what is funny is the defeat of sin. What is funny is the fact that we have the Spirit. What is funny? Look at it. Look at verse 4. So that you see where joy is coming from. We have an inheritance. What happened to the inheritance? It is incorruptible, meaning that what God has done cannot be corrupted. It is incorruptible, undefiled. It does not fade, reserved for you in the Spirit in heaven. Verse 5. Who are kept, some say I'm kept, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be received in the times to come. Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly... Oh, I want you to be there. Verse 6. You're not there. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. Note. Stop. Did you notice he said they greatly rejoice, even though that they were going through trials? You know, I always tell people that it's wrong thinking that gets you moody. If you think rightly, you would have a reason to rejoice. I won't say from a very, very carnal level. Do you know that it was just in the 1940s that people could take their bath with hot water? We are in the most excited generation. We are in the most blessed generation, but we are a generation that can easily go into depression. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you look at it, it is just very recently that people started owning cars of their own. Just very recently, in the 60s and 50s. It's just very recently that people could take their bath with hot water. It's just very, very recently that people could give birth to a child and they are very sure that there is a good extent that the child will not die from infant mortality. Amen. But you know the point? That's why you must understand that we are not saying things. This teaching is not saying things will get better in your life. So rejoice. That's not what we are saying. We are actually saying that as a believer, rejoicing is your way. Because if you are waiting for the best time to come, you are in the best generation that ever existed. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm actually saying? You are actually in the best generation to be able to enter bus from a place to another place. They didn't have it like that in the 1970s. They were, if a fast train was not there, there was nothing like all of the things that you enjoy today. They didn't have the clothes that you have. People caught diseases easily. Amen. Just in the days of G Lake, very, very simple, a whole city died of bubonic plague and nobody could do anything. So I'm saying, if you are waiting for everything in life to be perfect, it's not going to happen like that. But you're a man of joy. Hallelujah. And that's why our rejoicing is never based on what happens physically. Our rejoicing is based on the resurrection. That's why we're people of faith. Amen. Church, amen. Look at it now. It says, verse 6, how dare Peter tell people to greatly rejoice when they were greatly persecuted? Because our rejoicing is not a function of physical things. It's just because this is the way in our kingdom. If someone found you rejoicing, say, why are you shouting? Why are you laughing? Why are you singing? It's the way in our kingdom. When you follow in that manner, I am a child of faith. When you don't follow in that manner, I am stepping in unbelief. Very simple. Look at it here. He said, but don't you see what you're going? You don't even have money for what you do tomorrow. That's not the point. The point is rejoicing for us is part of our kingdom. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God has given me the joy. I'm to play with it. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. Look at it in verse 6 again. Wherein you greatly rejoice, even though for a season you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations. Look at it. That the trial of your faith being made precious more than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. This is how we know believers. So when we start to worship God, you can look around. The Bible tells you, you know, like I said, it's the Bible that shows you the Spirit. So amongst us, we can know who is the believer that is acting like an unbeliever. The Bible tells us how we can spot them out. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen. How many people have seen Jesus physically? Mm-hmm. Right? You cannot see him with your physical eyes. Whom having not seen, you do what? How many people are lovers of Jesus in the house today? You are a lover of Jesus. Yeah? So you have not seen him, but you love him. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing. How many people believe in Jesus? You are a believer in Jesus. He says, yet believing. After believing, what do we find the believer doing? So rejoicing is the evidence of my believing. Hallelujah. So it's not something that as from today, never ever wait for anybody to prompt you to rejoice, to prompt you to sing, to prompt you to shout, to prompt you to laugh. Never ever. It is a proof that you're a proper believer, the word way. Amen. He says, yet believing, what do we find? You do what? Rejoice. How? With joy unspeakable, full of glory. So look at it carefully. It says, I have not seen him, but I love him. Though I have not seen him, I am a believer. Remember, we believe not based on what we feel, but what we have heard. So it's not a feeling matter. Joy for us is not that something is funny. Joy for us is that when you see me leaping, why am I leaping? Jesus Christ came out of the grave and he lives in me. Why am I leaping? I am a priest. He has called me into high priesthood. Why am I singing? Why am I worshiping him? He has made me a new creation. He is God, is my Father, he is faithful. He made salvation available even when nobody would have held him. And now I am saved. I'm rescued from destruction. We are not believers saying when things are better. We are not saying that, oh, he gave us a job. That is the reason why we are actually rejoicing. Because we are saying, with or without a joy, you will find praise on my lips. The psalmist will say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. That's the believer. The believer is not situational or circumstantial. The believer is on his team, with or without. With or without. Knowing or not knowing. Something is a fact. A Jesus came out of the grave. Yet believing, we rejoice. How? With joy inexpressible. Meaning it's so much, you just don't know how to go about it. Full of glory. The testament of our faith. The testament of our faith. I just want you to see very clearly the difference between one and another. Yet believing, believers, there is something about faith. Faith gets you responding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There, anytime you are saying you are in faith and you are passive, that's not faith. Faith gets you active. Yet believing, I rejoice. Yeah. Yet believing, I say. If he believes, he shall say to a mountain. Anywhere you see faith, it must be active. Are you hearing? Yet believing,
I'm calm in the storm. Yet believing. When you see faith and you see no action, the faith is not full. Yet believing, he gave God thanks. Praise God. And Jesus said, oh, your faith has made you whole. When the person seen that he was a little whole, said, Jesus, thank you. Jesus said, were there not nine? Now that you have believed, you are made whole. Where you see faith, there is an action. The Bible says in our kingdom, when we believe, we rejoice. When we believe, we rejoice. When we believe, we rejoice. We are not acting, we are doing our kingdom. Because we are new creations. Come on, let's rise upon our feet today. Let's rise upon our feet today. What does joy look like? Joy looks like singing. Joy looks like talking. Joy looks like, it looks like shouting. Joy looks like, it looks like worshiping. Joy looks like spitting. Joy looks like it. David would say, oh, when the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God was getting into the city, the Bible says David leaped.
Hallelujah.
He leaped, and Micah saw him and said, how can you be like this? How can you dance like this in front of all the people? And David said, it was God, my father, who actually made me king in the stead of your father. Hallelujah. There is something that makes us rejoice. The presence of God. Brother, you can go for it. You can go for it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we have received. We have received Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We have received a message. We are not passive people.
Speak in the language of
we are
the
not. We don't look at what is seen, but what is unseen. For the things unseen are eternal.
Yeah.
Speak.